Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, and our experts are standing by, ready to answer your questions, whatever they may be. Kel Carson, Ed Rudell, and myself, Foster Brown, we look forward to talking to you at 800-859-0957. That's why we call this your hour. You set the agenda. Your questions are the ones that we concentrate on. So give us a call, 800-859-0957. Back in a moment to help you. So glad that you are with us here on our second hour of the Internet Advisor. And from now through the summertime, this is going to be the place where, on a regular basis, you can tune in and ask your questions of some very smart people in here. Kel Carson and Ed Rudell in studio with me, Foster Brown, and we'll be getting to your questions in just a moment. 800-859-0957. And Mark up in Port Huron, we'll be getting to you in just a bit, and some other folks who are calling in. So that's the way to do it. Get yourself online and get ready to get some answers for your questions. It's time, however, right now to talk with Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News. And we partner with him because he's the best source for getting information about technology and entrepreneurship in the state of Michigan. And it's coming to you free through MI Tech News. Mike, welcome to us this week.
Thanks, Foster. Kind words there.
Glad to have you along with us. Let's talk about some examples of the headlines that are there so people can know what the kind of thing we're talking about here. I see that the comments are being requested for the Gordie Howe International Bridge.
Yeah, the Department of Transportation, Michigan DOT, is having a public forum on April 20th in Lansing in the House Office Building. And they're inviting the public to come in and talk about, well, it's the whole DOT plan through 2040. But a big part of that plan will be the Gordie Howe International Bridge, which, when it's being built, will be 10,000 construction jobs. Wow,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
And it's going to go on for a couple of years. So, yep. I mean, it's going to be a tremendous boom to the Detroit area economy. Mm-hmm. And once it gets in place, it's going to relieve a lot of that pressure. A lot of the folks in Canada don't much care for the Ambassador Bridge traffic going through downtown Windsor, and this will skirt that area.
Right, and it goes through a lot of the neighborhoods in Windsor as well. Yeah, another one I saw here is something that we've talked about quite often on our program here, and that there is a cyber summit coming up in the fall, and it will be the fifth one.
Yeah, the governor's fifth, not annual, because he skipped a couple of years, but his fifth summit since he's been in office. And it's going to be in October, and it's really a who's who. I've been to every one of them. They usually attract 1,000 or more people. It's a day-long forum. I mean, and it's like the A-list of people coming in for cybersecurity experts. Yeah. If you really want to learn from the top, this is the event to attend.
Yeah, the CIO for the state of Michigan, David Behan, says there's no better opportunity to learn from and network with leaders in the cyber world. So it's really a must-see event. And one final headline I see here is that Detroit is ranked second in the nation in the number of women-owned businesses, kind of tying in with our last hour.
But it's still sort of surprised me when you think of California and New York and things like that.
Yeah, I was very surprised.
You know, you'd think, gosh, you know, because not to mention we only have 10 million people versus California with 40.
Mm-hmm.
But the women here are just very entrepreneurial.
That's cool.
It's great. We have an estimated 389,800 women-owned businesses in the state. And they generate something like $46 billion. So, I mean, this is serious money.
Serious.
And in Detroit itself, according to the American Express Open report, where they looked at census figures, things like that, Detroit came in second, and Michigan came in 10th in the country, including D.C., so 51 there, right? You know.
Well, Mike, these are encouraging headlines, but they're also, you'll find things that are in-depth studies of things that are going on, political things, and then also some of the technology things like the ones we just talked about there for entrepreneurs and people who are interested in what's going on in technology in Michigan. All you have to do is go to mitechnews.com, put your email address in there, and send it off. And it's absolutely free. And then on Wednesdays and Fridays, there's a whole lot of information coming your way. Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, guys. I'm going to go out and enjoy the rest of this wonderful Saturday.
Man, it is great. Thanks again, Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News. Okay, let's head out to our folks who have been calling in and standing by. And Mark, from here on, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Yes, my desktop system upgraded to Windows 10, and when I go to my document file, it keeps, as I scroll down through there to look at a document and say if it's trying to figure out if I, it's what I want or not,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, when I let go of the mouse or just hesitate a second, All of a sudden, it goes right back to the top. It does the same thing in my picture file, and I didn't know what causes that and what I can do to reverse it.
Wow, almost like it's spring-loaded.
Yeah, exactly.
Little slide bar spring-loaded. You know, I'm not sure if you have... is this a laptop?
No, it's on a desktop.
A desktop.
It is on a desktop.
Cal, it's on a desktop.
I'm drawing a blank on this. What would cause that? I mean, where the scroll bar actually tiles or scrolls back up to the top when it's released, like it's spring-loaded.
And I've tried all the different times.
You know what? We didn't lose him, did we?
Mark, are you still there?
Mark?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My headset's interrupting.
You know, what happens if you were to use, instead of using the scroll bar, use the page down button on your keyboard without touching the mouse at all? What would happen then?
I'll have to try it. I don't know.
And you know, just like completely eliminate the mouse and just use your keyboard, your arrows, or your page down and page up. Boy, that sounds strange. I'm drawing a complete blank. Unless I would possibly recommend going to the manufacturer's website and possibly downloading new. You can't because it's if it was a laptop, I was going to say scroll bar or drivers for your touchpad and stuff. But it's a desktop.
And this is using Windows 10, correct?
Yeah, Windows 10, and it's using a mouse. This is something we haven't heard before, but I'm wondering if it's something in the mouse settings. And you can go to devices.
Well, you can go in the control panel under the mouse settings there and look, but I've never seen a spring function, like spring back.
Is this a wireless or a wireless mouse? Is this a wireless or wired mouse?
It's a wired mouse,
wired mouse.
Well, continue to listen because we may have an answer for you. I'm on a lead for something real quick, and just continue to listen, and we'll get back to you.
All right, Mark?
We'll do.
Thank you so much. Back again in just a moment with Joy, Gerald, and Ellen. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Kel Carson, and Ed Rudell in studio here. Thank you very much for joining us. Our number again, 800-859-0957. Any further insight, by the way, Kel, on that first question from Mark about his desktop and the unruly mouse?
Well, according to Microsoft, on their forums, I went out there and found out other people were having the same problem.
Okay.
And it seems the problem is that the desktop background was set to change every 10 seconds. So if you go into the personalization and change that interval from every 10 seconds to something longer, it should fix the problem. So if he's still listening, try that out. And matter of fact, if you're feeling crazy, call us back and let us know if it worked.
Yeah, I'd be very interested. Yeah, so it's the desktop setting that is the culprit here.
Yes.
And it's having it set too short a time.
Yeah, because it's changing the background. Every time it changes the background, it moves it up to the top again.
You know, and that might have something to do with the losing focus. Now, remember, that was a term.
Oh, yeah, you talked about that before.
Yeah, that was a term I didn't discover until like 4 years ago, and that's when it's whatever application's in the forefront where you're clicking on, that is the focused application. There are some times when you can have applications that will spring up into the foreground like a taskbar thing, and it basically makes the one in the foreground become a background application, and what's called losing focus, something that, as you get older, that happens to all of us quite frequently. But on Windows, it's not a good thing.
What were you talking about just now?
Losing focus.
Oh, okay.
All right, you guys, let's go back to the callers. Hey, Gene in Lincoln Park, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you? Hello, Gene. Gene, did we cause you to snooze off? I tell you what, we're going to let Logan check back in and see if Gene is taking a nap, perhaps. All right. Oh, I see what happened. All right, Gene, I think we have you now. How you doing, Gene?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you. I was waiting for my Starbucks coffee, too.
Okay. Yeah, our system in here duplicated your name, and I was pressing the wrong button. What can we do for you?
Last Sunday, I came home after a trip, and then I turned my computer on, or actually just, moved my mouse, because I always leave my computer on. Mm-hmm. And Windows 10, it's always keeping the prompt me to upgrade, and I always say no, decline. Mm-hmm. It just keeps coming back. Well, finally, last week, I said no, and then I leave to do something else. I come back, and that darn thing is installing itself. It's already halfway through the process.
Really?
I don't know what happened.
No,
I've
heard this from several listeners.
Yes.
But you've actually answered no to every one of the questions. And I was assuming, because when I looked into this with Microsoft's on their forum, they're saying something about, would you like to schedule this event? And it's giving you, select a date, schedule event. And most people are saying, no, I don't wish to schedule an event. or a time, and then it was 30 days out from that. But you've obviously said no each time. Mm-hmm. Now, this is...
I said, believe me, I did not want to install it, did not schedule it, and the last pop-up that I got last week, I just X'd the window, closed it, came back, and then I'm like, you son of a gun, it's installing itself.
It's alive! Anyways, it's alive!
You know, we
yeah.
have... Microsoft's really...
I'll tell you what I did.
Okay, what you
did? I'll tell you what I did.
Okay.
What I did was I let it install itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry about you, mate.
Thank you, sir. And I let it install itself. I said, there's got to be a way for me to be able to back out of this thing. And the last thing that they do in a tenant install is have you do the license agreement. I declined it. It undid everything. And what happened was I lost all my shortcuts. And I have some important
Ooh.
Shortcuts.
Ooh.
And I said, oh, fine. I'll recreate my shortcuts. But no, I can't even find the files now.
So these are desktop shortcuts or internet favorites shortcuts?
It's their desktop shortcut for Windows 7 Home. And after it reinstalled Windows 7 Home, after I declined the 10 license, my yeah. shortcuts were gone. I went by, did a search by name of the files. When you go to open a Word document, it shows you all the recent opens. So I just started typing in, and those files can't be found.
Wow. So your desktop's basically missing. So it's not only shortcuts, but if you had folders on your desktop, would those have been missing as well?
No. Just shortcuts.
Okay, just the shortcuts.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Is that maybe... Does the shortcuts get absorbed by, like, Microsoft Edge?
No. I wish they did. Matter of fact, if Microsoft was smart, they would have Edge, when you launch it for the first time, ask you if you wish to import your favorites. And then there's also a menu item that allows you to do that. You know, what our listener is our caller is saying is, I seem to remember losing a few shortcuts on mine when I updated to Windows 10 as well, and I'm not sure why. I've never really looked in it. I thought it was a one-off.
Could it be the truth? Are the shortcuts an application that's not supported by Windows 10?
We're not.
Hey, Gene.
Gene?
Yeah. Well,
are you fighting with your hamburger?
I'm fucking up a Starbucks.
Oh, it's Starbucks. All right.
Okay. No, were these internet shortcuts or were they shortcuts to applications?
Shortcuts to Word.
To Word? Microsoft
Maybe,
Word?
I'm sorry. I should have said it was Word, but that's most of my documents, Word and Visio and Excel.
But they were just shortcuts to applications, right?
Yeah, like Microsoft applications as well.
Oh, that's probably why Microsoft did that, because of the new interface. And it removed them when it installed Windows 10. I don't agree with their policy. I could see why they would do that. And I just don't agree with Microsoft doing that.
All right. Go ahead,
Jim. I don't mind shortcuts being removed, but I can't find the files either.
Oh, you can't find the files.
And I got one with a lot of...
Wait. Back up, Gene. You can't find the Word document?
Exactly.
Oh, so it's not just the shortcut. You can't even find the Word document that it referred to.
Now, what about your My Documents are safe and stuff? But so, I mean, I guess the thing is you got to back up your computer on a regular basis and know where the files exist. But after your update, you know, they should be there. I don't know why they're not there.
All right, question.
But the thing is, but they should be on a backup if you have a backup.
Do you have a backup, Gene?
Yes, I do. I've got a backup of those files on my other laptops and stuff. But what I'm saying is
Microsoft
something
shouldn't have
happened
done
there where they lost, the files are gone. I don't care about the shortcuts. I can recreate those.
But the files themselves are gone. That's a big deal.
So what we're just basically saying is you got to back up before you do the Windows update. And I don't agree with Microsoft removing shortcuts on the desktop. The installation, whether on purpose or an accident, something happens. You know, another thing that happens when you're fully upgrading an operating system, one of the things that I recommend users do is to check your disk for errors. But Microsoft also does that on the installation. They also do a quick disk check before they install Windows 10. So
But will it stop installing if it has a bad disk?
I'm not the programmer. I can't tell you.
So when in doubt, regardless of whatever you do, you always want to back up first before you do any updates of any type. And with the advent of Microsoft sneaking the updates in on people, it would probably behoove people to start backing
Even
up
more
today.
Important. If this scares everybody into backing up, hallelujah. All right. Gene, thank you so much for your call. We got to move on to a couple. We have a whole bunch of people here waiting, and I want to make sure we get to some other folks as well. So let's go to Ellen in Grosse Pointe. Welcome, Ellen. Well, how can I help you?
Hi, Foss. How are you doing? It's Ellen and Anthony.
Oh, how are you doing, Ellen? What can we do for you here?
Well, I got a new computer. It's a Dell Inspiron 15300 series. I got it back in early October, mm-hmm. and ever since I downloaded Windows 10, I've had just nothing but troubles with it. Trying to, you know, do work software and constantly getting like pop-ups, or it's like a corner of the page peels back and you get this little sad face, and then it's just, I loaded on something called PC Keeper
mm-hmm.
and PC Keeper Antivirus, mm-hmm. and it has not been helpful.
Yeah, it does sound like whenever you did the installation, made that big change, that you got a virus on board. And unfortunately. Now, have you backed up your important information?
There's not really much on here.
Okay, okay.
You know?
Okay, so you're not in a place where if you scrub the whole thing, you'd be losing.
No,
you know,
not
important.
Really. I mean, like, I have a couple letters, but
okay.
You know, I could put them on a
Guys,
flash drive.
Is there a way we could suggest to her to just completely just scrub the system and start over again?
Yeah, because it probably has a restore partition on the computer
yes.
itself. So any documents that you have on that computer that you want to keep, copy them off onto a thumb drive or something
right.
like that, and then just run the entire restore back over on the computer. That puts it back to the point it was when it came out of the box.
And there's a screen, what is it, in the backup that gives you those choices of what to do. You could, you know, just completely put it back to factory settings.
Well, it may provide that. It may not after she upgraded, but 10, it's kind of hard to say. Dell does provide you that ability, but then the utility that does that may not exist in the Windows 10, you know, unless she created the manufacturer's CDs. The good news is that she could go to Microsoft and actually install a completely fresh copy of Windows 10.
Good.
And that'll erase everything, because it looks like the PC Keeper software is actually a Slovakia software package.
Uh-oh.
So you may want to go through your control panel and review what applications are installed. That may not be a legitimate application. I'm not sure. But, you know, if it's not something you installed, then or purchased, you might want to get rid of it.
Ellen, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll chat offline. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. Thanks so much again to Eric Dorsch and to Logan Staniford, people behind the glass, to make the program move smoothly here. And, Ed, you and I were chatting a little bit before the show about something that you were answering online. As we do during the week, we answer people's questions.
Yeah, and last week I mentioned that you can, and through some of the emails, you can buy a used computer for $100, $150 if you know where to look. You know, there are stores that have used sales, mom and pop shops. They'll take them. They're a few years old, and they'll put a clean copy of the Windows operating system and prepare it. But then, and then what I did is I sent him a list of, you know, and she goes, well, where do I find that? I says, well, Micro Center has an excellent department.
Mm-hmm.
You've also purchased computers
yes.
there, right?
Yep.
And I said, and you might want to check Amazon and or eBay, but I use Craigslist.
And we don't want to forget Shane as well.
Oh, yes, of course.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Comtech Services. Matter of fact, that's where I bought Ginny's most recent computer, was at Comtech Services on Sterling Heights.
But Craigslist. When I go out there, there's a lot of people that purchase, as does Shane, these computers that come off lease. Right,
mm-hmm.
they're on the 3-year life cycle. They come up off the manufacturer. These are mom and pop shops that possibly, you know, that reload the operating system or restore, you know, the factory defaults from Dell or or HP, and then they, you know, they'll buy a pallet of them.
Two things struck me about this. One was I clicked on that link that you sent to them, and I was amazed at some of the computers that are out there. It was a Dell all in one, brand new in the box,
Well, they claim.
They show you the box.
Picture of the box, right?
Yes, buyer beware. That's the other thing, by the way, caveat emptor, buyer beware. But anyway, struck me $300-some-odd for a Dell all-in-one that was really a sweet deal.
There were a lot of them there
One terabyte hard drive, you know, 4 gigabytes of RAM, etc. But the other thing, and we want to make this as like a public service announcement, folks, when you deal with somebody through Craigslist, always meet them in a safe public place.
Right.
The Troy Police Department, for instance, offers their station as a place that says, please come here and make your transaction here. Because there's been some unfortunate headlines recently of people who have been hurt by people who have either tried to, you know, sell them garbage or have tried to take money from them, whatever,
yep.
because they were meeting in some place that wasn't public, that wasn't secure. So,
and when you meet with a friend, bring a friend yes. with you, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the other thing I was going to say, and the reason why I sent that article to that person, is a lot of these are mom and pop, you know, locally owned computer stores right. or even pawn shops. And they buy these things by the pallet and they will refurbish them and they put them on Craigslist. And so you're meeting them at a place of business.
Yeah, that's
where
thing.
I was going.
At a place of business as well. Correct. Okay, good. That's just kind of a public service, folks, and let you know that they're out there on Craigslist. But also, just be careful as you're doing your shopping there. Let's go to Larry in Metamora. Larry, how are you doing and what can we do for you?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to, I think it was like two callers ago that had the problem with Windows 10 automatically being downloaded to
PC.
I have a similar situation where my wife's laptop, she's running Windows 7, and for her job, they told her specifically, do not upgrade to Windows 10 because there's certain applications that she uses that needs to be either Windows 7 or Windows 8. So I was listening to Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and he had a similar caller about 2 weeks ago, and he recommended one of his podcasts that he has, part of his Twit network, Steve Gibson, Security
yes.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
He created a program called Never 10.
Yep.
It will not install. You install that on your computer, it will not upgrade to Windows 10. And I put it on my wife's laptop, and thus far... haven't seen Windows 10 trying to show up. I could look around.
No, that's awesome.
Time.
Yep.
So
the Never 10. Now is that Never 10.10 or Never 10 T E N?
No, Never 10.10.
Never 10 is. I believe it was never, and then the 10.
Yeah, the number itself. Yeah.
Yeah. And Foster, you're nodding your head like you...
Yeah, I. Matter of fact, we've...
And you've been stringing me along this whole time.
No, I heard the same thing on one of Leo's reports.
Oh,
Leo
gosh.
Does a great job, and I listen to all of his, or a lot of his podcasts.
Larry, thank you for calling in, and because now I know what type of true fan Foster is. He watches me struggle
you're
on
welcome.
The air.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a million. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Foster and Larry. Thank you very much.
We will post that.
Yes.
We will post that. But yes, I did see that. I thought it was kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
Steve Gibson, who is an excellent security expert,
yes.
created this piece of software.
Never 10.
That essentially makes
because
sure.
Microsoft provides this convoluted article on how to you have to do these three steps to prevent Windows 10, where they could just as easily have created a Microsoft Mr. Fix-It like they do for so many other things to prevent, you know, that says fix it, and they haven't.
Or they could have just wrote the code and said, would you like 10? Yes or no? And you say no, and you don't get 10.
And the thing is, they do it every week, though.
Yes.
And we will post this for you. You can find it by going to G as in George or Gibson, R-C, GRC.com, and look for Never 10. It's the word never plus the number 10. It's a very small download, 81 kilobytes. And, I mean, and it goes like mad. It was it was launched on March 30th, just recently. So it's out there, and I will make sure we get that up on our homepage as well.
And you know, Foster, I was teasing you about that.
That's okay. Matter of fact, you posted one that had a lot of steps in it. I think this may be what you were asking for was, you know, one button to push.
I was asking for a Microsoft Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that.
But I think with Never 10, you may have exactly
that's
that.
Awesome. Steve did it. Great.
Yeah, Steve Gibson is just a wonderful guy and very, very good at this.
I wish they had that for people I know in my life. You know, like I wanted to have a Never Fiore or something like that.
Never Fred or something like that. Harry from Port Huron. Welcome, my friend. Good to have you with us here on the Internet Advisor.
I don't know how to follow that. That was wonderful right there. Never person. Huh? Anyway, just to help Mark possibly here, I use a keyboard. And Mark, if you're listening, try just down arrowing to the item in the list that you're looking for. Or if you know the item that you're looking for in the list, use first letter navigation. Type the first letter of the item. Now, if there's more than one item with the first letter, then type the first two letters. And it should take you right to that item, and then just hit enter, and away you go. Mm-hmm. I do it all the time. I do it in a list of files, or I do it on the desktop if I want to find an item on the desktop and I don't have a hotkey. I can just type the first letter or two letters for the icon, and
right.
there it is, and I can just hit enter on it.
Perfect. So you're talking about actually clicking the article itself rather than the scroll bar, using the arrow keys or typing
right.
the letter. Yes, and that's a great suggestion. We'll see if that helps them.
And it's
all right.
And this is for the person that had the issue with the spring loaded scroll bar.
Yes,
using Explorer.
Exactly.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Harry.
All right. Take care.
All right. Great. A long time listener and great piece of advice. Let's go to Joy at Northville. Hi, Joy. How are you doing?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
I hope there is joy in your life.
I hope this question is not blasphemous.
Uh-oh. Okay. Go right ahead.
Because I do not tweet, Twitter, text, or Facebook on my computer.
Okay.
And I'm an accountant, actually a cost accountant. And another word for a cost accountant is an efficiency expert. Mm-hmm. Identify the problem and get to the bottom line as quick as possible.
Sure.
Okay.
Is that your profession? Is that what you're saying? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Is that what you are? No, pardon
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It has been my success.
Okay.
And I had Windows 98.
Yes.
And I guess Windows XP, which the IRS used forever and ever until they had to undo it. Okay.
Okay, yeah. Yes, that was the next step up. Okay, Joy. Yes.
Okay, and my question is,
yes?
How do I get back to just a computer that does what I want it to do? Financially,
sure,
without
sure.
the all the bells and whistles.
Yes, right. Yeah, you know, Joy, you're asking a question I think that is a very sensible one. It's interesting, as an efficiency expert, you would ask that. Just something that will perform the basic tasks that you want to task without all the other bells and whistles on top of it.
Absolutely. Right now I had a Windows 7, 8. Now I have a Windows 10.
Okay.
Dell.
Okay.
And every time I get on it, it takes me forever to get on it. And then they ask me for personal information and this and this and this.
Yeah,
face
yeah.
recognition.
Way too
all
much.
All I want is just a plain old computer
yeah.
that does what I...
what you want. And that may be the dilemma. Joy, hang on a second. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this age-old dilemma of computers. I want one that does what I want it to do. Well, it's been a delight being with you on our program today. I want to remind you that it's Sunday night when I have edited and put together the podcast, and you can listen to the entire program or whatever piece of it you'd like by simply going to internetadvisor.net and look for the podcast. Or you could, subscribe to it on iTunes. Look for Internet Advisor Podcast. You got to look for that whole thing, not just Internet Advisor, but Internet Advisor Podcast. And you can sign up for it there and subscribe. You can also go to PodcastDetroit.com, and you will find us listed there as well. So lots of places to go. Hopefully you will make that a regular part of your listening. And that way you can, during the week, bring back segments of the program, like some of the answers that we've given here, and listen to them at your leisure, and apply the solutions and sometimes that we have here for you as well. We're going to talk a little bit more about what Joy was asking about in a moment, but...
Speaking of going, places to go. I'll tell you about a place to go. Tomorrow, April 17th, we'll be having our monthly Mac group meeting. And our subject for tomorrow is going to be presented by our own very own Dave McGuire. And he's going to be giving a complete overview about the iPad from mini all the way to pro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you'll be talking about all the iPads, all the functions and capabilities of them. And it's going to be a great time. That starts at 3 p.m. tomorrow. We'll be at the Birmingham Temple. This is the Mac Group of Detroit. And we have our genius desk that starts at 2 o'clock. Yeah. So you can come in and ask questions, stuff like that. So it doesn't matter whether you're Windows or Mac, you can come. We're going to talk about the iPad, so that covers everything. And you can find out more about that by linking off our website, internetadvisor.net, or going to macgroup.org, and it'll give you all the information, times, locations, maps, and the whole shooting match.
Very organized so we'll this year, by the way. There. You can take a look at the schedule for the rest of the year out there.
That's right. We like to have a full schedule out there so you can look, and we do everything from photography to operating systems, and you can find out everything that from the beginner all the way to your complete professional.
And I can personally attest to the fact that what you'll find there that's really helpful is the Genius Bar.
Yes.
That is really helpful.
We run that from 2 until 3 o'clock, so you can bring your computer in and set it down and say, I've got a problem, please help me.
Is that like a happy hour at the Genius Bar?
A lot of people walk away happy. Now, do we solve every problem? No, but most people do walk away happy, so it could be construed as a happy hour.
Thank you, Cal.
By the way, something coming up I just saw. I don't know if we talked about this before, about the name of the operating system for Max is changing?
Yes.
May change in the near future?
The rumor that is out says that Apple is going to start doing something quite akin to Microsoft. If you notice, everything is Windows, whether it's 10 or the phone system. It's all Windows. And it looks like Mac is starting to go, or Apple is starting to go that same way. You have TV OS, you have iOS for the iPad and the phones, and it looks like they might change it from OS X to Mac OS.
Yeah.
So it kind of brings that continuity thing all together and it just makes it all one big operating system.
And we won't have to remember the nicknames, you know.
Well, I think Gummy Bear was used by someone else.
Well, those are for the Android people, so I'm sure when they make Pancake and Flapjack, it'll be coming up next.
Oh, dear. By the way, I want to get back to our caller before we broke. And we do, by the way, excuse me, have room for another couple calls if you have a chance. You've been wondering, I wonder if I have time to get in. Yes, you will. 800-859-0957. I just didn't want you to think that there's no room left for your question. But I did want to respond to Joy's question because I thought it was an interesting one, and it's kind of at the root of a question we hear a lot. And that is, how can I get a computer that will simply do what I want?
Right.
And that kind of goes back to the question that we often, when we're asked, what kind of computer should I buy? The question is, what do you do with your computer?
Well, you know something, it's not a computer you got to look at like any other tool. It's not so much a computer doing what you want, it's what you do with the computer. You don't, you know, a hammer doesn't do what you want. You do what you want with the hammer.
Right.
So when you get a computer, you design it, you configure it, you make it the way that you want it to do. If all you ever want to do is Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, put those three icons on your desktop, click on those, and never do anything else.
That's true. Yeah, you don't necessarily have to pull out all the tricks that are in the bag there.
So, I mean, a lot of times what happens is when people get computers, what you really may need to do is, okay, what do I need to do with the computer? And you may have to have it customized. This is what I want. I want my desktop just to have these icons. And you may have to have someone come over and do that for you and customize it.
And it may be well worth the, you know, $75, $100 to have someone sit down with you, customize it the way you want it. Mm-hmm. They could probably do it even before you leave the store.
Yes.
And then that way you'll have a tool that works for you.
I remember Shane Hamlin, who was one of our experts here, when we went in and bought Jenny's computer, a laptop at his place, took a lot of time helping to say, okay, what do you have? What do you want to have here? Where are your contacts? Things like that, just to make sure that she has
those
the
are the
she
pluses
wants.
For dealing with the smaller operations.
Absolutely.
Because you get that more personal one-on-one type experience. If you know exactly what you want, if you feel comfortable enough that you can design it and configure it the way you want, the big box stores are great to go to. But if you're the sort of person that just needs a little more hand-holding than maybe the next person, the smaller mom-and-pop operations are excellent for that.
Now, tell me, guys, you represent, if you will, Ed with Windows. Just, I mean, he's used other operating systems, but Windows and you, Cal, with Macs. Talk to me about Chromebooks, because I hear that. How do they fit into the whole
I haven't seen one in about 2 years. But, I mean, Cal, have you played with one at all?
I played with one a little bit about 6 months ago, and they fit into the ecosystem in such a way where, first of all, it's a nice economical price point.
Yep.
It is a operating system that is relatively easy to use,
bare bones,
as long as you can deal with the web. And it does a lot of stuff for you because everything's coming out of the cloud.
Everything's cloud-based. And you can.
You have to have an internet connection to make that work.
You have to have that to really appreciate it.
The thing is, though, Google provides applications that emulate or can import or actually read and write Microsoft Word, Excel, and PowerPoint documents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have all those basic. If you could just need to access that stuff and do your Facebook and internet access, get to Google Maps or Bing Maps, you know, a netbook is pretty good, and it's inexpensive, and it don't crash.
Now, when you say netbook, are you talking about
Chromebook?
I'm sorry.
Chromebook, pardon.
Chromebook.
Oh, yes.
Okay. You know, I've been living long enough where they're all interchangeable now.
They're beginning to blur.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Chromebook would be a good choice for Chromebook, that sort of sort of person.
Who wants to have a kind of a Spartan computer interface.
Mm-hmm. That would be a good way of looking at it, I would think, yeah.
Yeah. But again, make sure when you get one like that you have a good internet connection or can connect by Wi-Fi to the internet.
Hang out in the Starbucks and the McDonald's as much as you can. Of course, you'll gain 100 pounds, but what the hell?
Cal and Ed, thank you so much for being here this weekend and helping us get through another great program. By the way, folks, during the week, if you have a question about your computer, you can simply go to internetadvisor.net, and on the contact button, which you'll find on the upper right-hand side, you can click on that and give us an email and tell us what your concerns are, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. You can also find that same kind of a place for a comment at the bottom of our webpage if you go to internetadvisor.net. On behalf of the crew here, my name is Foster Brown. Glad to have you with us. Next week, by the way, we're going to be going out to the fields again with the farmers. Ben's coming back in, and we're talking about farm logs as well. All that coming up on next week's Internet Advisor.